Blog Talk Radio. We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. This is Identity Theft of the Self with myself, Ellen Hartwell, and John Warren. How are you today, Mr. Warren?
Well, you know what? I'm sneezing and sneezing. As you know, we were in the green room a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a sneezing attack. So we're going to see if we get through this. I'm going to try and do the law of attraction where I'm allergy-free right now. But yeah. I'm well. I'm being silly, but I'm very well.
And so it is. You are free of allergy, sneezing, congestion, or any illusion of illness or immune response or disease or anything that is not pure channel to the God of your understanding, my dear. Yes, and I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah. I feel great. I just started. I'm worried about your treatment, I'm sure. That's going to hold me through this hour, I believe. So we'll see.
Okay, well, if you sneeze, John, if you sneeze, I don't know of anyone that wouldn't understand, because I would be willing to guarantee that anybody listening to this show, including myself, has sneezed before in their life, John. I'm so sure of it, so don't worry. It's okay. You're allowed to cough, and you're allowed
to
sneeze.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You make me feel wonderful and loved.
And included, and sharing strength, hope, and experience. Okay, before this gets into too much craziness, hello everyone, thank you for joining us. This is Identity Theft of the Self, and today we are going to be talking about countering negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Now that seems like a very simple thing to do, right? It isn't until you make it a habit, because we're so used to thinking negatively. It's normal. Gee, you know, I'm going to go to a party tonight, and I hope I have a good time, but I know Jane's going to be there, and she doesn't like me, so she's probably going to judge me because I don't have, you know, the fanciest jeans or the best sneakers or the prettiest blouse, and then probably that guy I've got a crush on, he probably doesn't know I exist because he probably likes Sally, and it goes on and on and on. And the trick is to be conscious of your thoughts. And so when you catch yourself going, oh, I can't have that, I can't do that, or nobody likes me, or whatever, to go, wait a minute, stop, negative thoughts, hello, how are you? But you know what? I have some positive thoughts to add to that repertoire. Of course I'm liked. Of course I'm attractive. Of course I'm smart. Of course I'm capable. Or whatever it is that plays in your head that tears you down. What you want to train your brain to do is to lift yourself up, not put yourself down. And we're all to, oh, don't be conceited. I'm not conceited. I'm God confident. And so that confidence comes from being positive even when I feel negative. And in time, because thoughts are the engine and feelings are the caboose, if I think positively, my emotions will follow that and become more positive as I maintain a positive thought in my head. And then, oh God, John, it's contagious. And then every time that you have a negative thought, if you really work at it, and learn to counter that negative thought with a positive one, in time, you'll do it naturally. You'll do it without a great deal of effort. We want to find the good in things, but we also want to go, where do these negative thoughts come from? For crying out loud. Well, we've been talking about that all along, because identity theft of the self is exactly that. The media, what our parents said that wasn't good, our friends, our neighbors, it doesn't matter, our bosses, our coworkers, oh, you're going to wear that, or what have you. We get fed all this negativity all the time. Okay, well, we're not Pollyanna and we're not deluded, but we do want to go, yeah, okay, you have a right to that perspective, but I am changing mine from a negative to a positive one. Feel good about yourself. Be clean, be neat, be organized, and feel good about yourself. And then when people say negative things, you can say, thank you for sharing. I'll have to give that some thought. Now, you may only give it a thought for a second or two, but you're not lying. You'll give it some thought. Maybe you do need to tuck your shirt in or whatever. And let's hope that John doesn't expire while we're on it. But I'm going to counter that negative thought with John is healthy and does not have an allergy and is just fine. Do you see what I mean? So the negative thoughts that we have poured into us like a giant funnel need to be countered, not removed. We can't, everybody has negative thoughts, but we can counter them with positive thoughts. And if we do it long enough, it becomes a habit. So the challenge for this week, and we're going to go back to the one from last week later, but the challenge for this week is, can we counter every negative thought with a positive one and get really conscious of that? And can we speak more positively? So, for instance, say your sister hurts your feelings, or your mother or your lover or whatever it is, has hurt your feelings, you can go into a negative tailspin about it, or you can go, oh, well, I don't share that opinion, I love you, and move on. And it becomes a habit in time. It doesn't mean you don't have feelings. People confuse that. You do. But if your thoughts are positive, your feelings will gradually become more positive. So I don't think we get rid of negative thoughts, John, but I do think we learn to counter them so we have them less and less often, and they don't stick to us like gum on our shoe the way they do if we don't counter those negative thoughts with positive ones. Would you agree?
As is always the case, you know what? I have to say, you're my favorite show to listen to, Ellen. I know I'm co-host on this show, but the first 5 minutes I always think, wow, look at her. She's just going. She's got it.
Diarrhea.
Well, I don't think that's it. That's a negative thought, Ellen. You actually are full of interesting wisdom that is helpful. The only thing I would disagree with in that is that we don't get rid of them. I think we do. I think we can. What I want to add to this, and I think it's important, is the premise here, the premise of this show, the premise here is that what we're thinking predominantly, not every individual thought, but what we're thinking and feeling and believe is what orbs and manifests out in our lives. So the reason to counter negative thoughts, presumably if you're listening to this show, is because you want a positive experience. I do think that we can, over time, maybe not 100%, get rid of, depending on where we come from. And here's the thing. That is, to me, if I was starting out in this practice, then I'm going to keep referring to it as a practice, if I was starting out in this practice again, and someone said to me, what you need to do is counter all your negative thoughts, actually, I would say, okay, wow, I don't even know where to start with that. Or if your life doesn't look like the way you want it to look, initially, what people, and in my experience with myself and in working with other people, is, well, I don't know that I have negative thoughts. I think I'm a good person. But I'm dissatisfied with my life. Well, okay, so there's something going on in your process that is creating a life that there's things in your life you don't want. So we need to get in there and get rid of, not unlike what it is that's going on that you don't want, so you can make adjustments. One of the first things we can do in countering, what I want to say is that ends in countering negative thoughts, is actually just pay attention to our thoughts. Because again, I keep coming back to this. My process, it's the reason why this study, Ellen, for people like you and I, people who get into it, goes on and on and on, because it seems very simple on its surface. You create your own reality. Your life is a reflection of thoughts are things, is what Ernest Holmes would say. Your life is a reflection of, you know, your beliefs and your culmination of your beliefs and thoughts. And that's what's happening, is manifesting. Seems very simple. Okay, well, I'll just be happier. I'll just change my thoughts. But most of us, by the time we get here, have incorporated consciously and unconsciously belief systems. And again, identity, theft, and soul, such a great title. Belief systems of the group, the mass, the culture, our belief systems are, they come from our parents, and they're sort of slid in under the mat without, before we are at an age or a maturity level where we can contradict them if they don't serve us. And the other thing that's interesting about this process, or many things that are interesting about this process, is, Ellen, the first thing that we need to do usually is figure out where our negative thoughts even are. Or a lot of us go through life, money doesn't grow on trees, used a lot, but money's difficult to come by. Or people who have struggled with relationships, honestly, if they really examine, can maybe get underneath that and find the belief that they feel unworthy of true love. And that's actually a belief. It's not necessarily a thought that you're having consistently, but underneath there is a belief like that. And so becoming aware of where we are thinking negatively, or where we have thoughts and beliefs that do not serve us, or even more importantly, used to serve us and no longer do, that is actually one of the first things that we can do, is actually pay attention to what it is we're actually thinking and become the observer when something confronts you, or you glance at the TV, or you're in line at the supermarket. Actually pay attention for a second. What are you thinking? Are you judging the person in front of you? Like, why don't they have their money ready? What are they thinking? And where is that? Where is that negative thought coming from? Paying attention to what you are thinking. And the next step is, honestly, if you can counteract it in the moment, that's great. That is a great spiritual practice, and it's effective. If you can't, or if you're unaware of it, one of the best things to do, and you touched on this, and then I will shut up, and I haven't sneezed once, please note, I have not sneezed. You heard me in the 5 minutes before we went on the air. I couldn't stop. It's just ended. What I was going to say is, if you are unaware of exactly where it is, if you are having negative thoughts that are tripping you up, one of the best things to do that nullifies it is two things. I will say two things. One is, start making a gratitude list. Just start anywhere. I am grateful for waking up this morning. I'm grateful for the pillow. I'm grateful for the bed. I'm grateful I have a phone. Just start making that list, and that will uncover where it is. Over a short period of time, where it is that you are thinking negatively. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I think you're so wise there, because I think what goes on is, first step is to just be gentle with yourself. And what are you thinking? And what is it that you find yourself thinking about frequently? That's what you need to do, is be aware of your thoughts, as you put it, John, overhear yourself when you speak, and be aware of your thoughts just in general. And don't be rigid about, I have to be aware of every thought. No. But just be aware of what you're thinking, and it won't be long before you'll catch some of those negative phrases, words, and thoughts, and you'll be able to then counter that with positive ones. And I am a big believer in countering negative thoughts, because I think once we become aware of them and we counter them, we reduce the incidence of it. I also believe that as we move forward in this practice, we get better and better at all uses of these things, and treatment or prayer is very important. I often will say, God, and he goes, yeah. And I go, you know, I'm wondering if there's something in here that I just don't know, you know, so could you please assist me in being conscious of my consciousness? And it's really interesting to just feel what bubbles up, but don't judge yourself. We're going to be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self, and we'll be talking more about this, so don't go away or anything. Don't you dare. Countering every negative thought with a positive one is not just a mental gymnastic. It may seem like it at first, but the more you do that, the more it becomes a habit, and then guess what? The less often you have to do it. We need to have our focuses changed. What are we focusing on? If it's something positive, yay, keep at it. If it isn't, gently nudge yourself into more positive thoughts, more positive images, and in time, your feelings will catch up. So it's important to do it because as we focus on the positive, guess what? We're creating more positive in our life. And if you don't think it's true, just try it for a while. Pick something really positive and think about it and focus on it and visualize it and watch it come back to you in a wonderful, beautiful form at the perfect time. So keep at it. Countering those negative thoughts and feelings with positive thoughts, your feelings will catch up, and I guarantee it. I just put out a guarantee. Well, I did. I guarantee that you'll feel better, your perspective will be better, and the reality that you're perceiving will be ever so much brighter. Yes, I believe that. And so, John, I think let's get into some practical ways. Now, yes, getting aware, getting conscious of our thoughts, step number one. Step number two, countering those negative thoughts. But I want you to talk for a little bit about negative, like countering those negative thoughts, argumentative treatment. How does argumentative treatment work, John?
Well, argumentative treatment, and, you know, I'm going to give you my version of this. In other words, I'm not gonna claim to be an absolute scholar. Treatment, the phrase even comes from religious science. I mean, I want to touch on this for a second. It comes from religious science, and it's a form of prayer. It's like, you know, what they would call a scientific prayer. It's a form of actively engaging your mind to sort of treat it, to correct. To adjust thoughts that are creating things in your life that you do not want, thoughts and beliefs that are creating things in your life that you don't want. So one of the ways to do it is just to sort of sit down and be in the I am as much as you possibly can be. I am here's one. I am a man in a committed, loving relationship. Living a full and abundant life. That's I am. Now, if you and I, and most of us do, have belief systems that are counter to that, because there's a lot of, you know, we all come up with different things. You believe that you can't, or relationships are too difficult, or money, living a full and happy, abundant life financially is beyond your experience, and it's too hard to do. All of that stuff, when you sit down and do that, to do that straight up treatment is what I would call it, or prayer. The truth is, Ellen, I know this is true, has true of me on certain issues and not as much on others. The belief system that I got incorporated maybe when I was a kid, or that I inhaled and believed without question, was permeable to via, you know, the culture at large, or my parents or whatever, will come up and start saying to me, oh, that's nonsense. That's not true. No, it will contradict, but your Aunt Fanny frittered all her money away, and therefore you're genetically, you know, predisposed to be overweight, period, or whatever it is, the countering thing that you're working on will come up. So that what we can do in that case is essentially lay out an argument with ourselves for why we can get to the other side. Well, has there ever been someone who grew up in a family with poverty consciousness who made a lot of money? The answer is yes, there absolutely is. How did they do it? Okay, so there absolutely is. well, that's not me. Okay. Is it possible? Do you have the wherewithal? Do you have the brains and the capacity? Is there anything holding you back other than this belief system from doing what that person who overcame that belief system did? And the answer almost invariably, unless you're really committed to it, is no, there's nothing holding me back. I have the brains and the capacity right now. There are people who started at zero and then ended up with millions upon billions. There are people who were hundreds of pounds overweight and came from families that were genetically, or they believed, you know, they were overweight. And did they lose weight? Yes. The answer is yes. There is an argument to be made. And what you do is continue to convince yourself can join those people, that you can do what those people did, and continue to examine the belief systems that are holding you back and really poking them. Because most of this stuff, Ellen, that holds us back, they are paper tigers. They are false evidence appearing real. They are things that we have convinced ourselves of because they kept our parents comfortable, they kept our grandparents comfortable. They were belief systems that maybe even worked. That maybe even worked two generations ago if it comes from your family, or maybe even worked for you in a childhood that might not have been ideal, that no longer work and no longer function, and you can actually bring them out into the light and say, does this actually still serve me? And let me use a personal example. Working on abundance in my own life and bringing and expanding. I'd sit and work on it. Right. And I mean, I work is a little bit of a sketchy word, but I'll say I sit and do treatments and focus on it, not forever, 5 minutes a day, a spiritual mind treatment or a prayer. I sit in prayer, but expansive life. Are there people in this world who have expansive, that money comes to them at ease and they have a greater level of personal freedom because they live an abundant life? They can do things and help other people. Yes, absolutely. I know some of them. And can you be one? Yes, I ought to be one. And I'd sit there and be with it. And you know what come up, Ellen?
What?
A resentment I had toward a family member. I'm not going to get totally specifically personal. Over an issue around money that I thought was mine, that I convinced myself was mine, and a resentment kept coming up. Here's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. There was a process that did not happen overnight in my case. It could have, and as with on occasion, there's no reason why it can't happen in a twinkling of an eye. In my case, it didn't. Where I had to really examine that resentment, because it was very specific. I would do a prayer/treatment on abundance, and that specific resentment would come up. And I had to look at it and keep looking at it and ask myself, and this is part of argumentative treatment, ask myself, what are you getting out of this resentment and holding on to this resentment? Because honestly, it was satisfying to me in a way that was more than bringing in more flow. And I'd be flip about that. There are things that come up with people that I work with and with myself that for now, if I'm honest with myself, and I had to be at that moment, oh, I'm still getting something out of working this resentment. I chew on it like a delicious steak. And I'm also conscious of the fact that it is stopping me from growing in certain areas because I'm not willing to forgive and let go of this. Now, after a time, the payoff of that resentment became less than expanding my horizons. And I just mean financially, but in every way, that included more money. But in every way, then holding on to that resentment about something that I think that someone did wrong in the past and that wronged me, that became more important to me. Now, that was a deep one. It was deeply rooted, embedded. It was a close person, a person who was close in my life. And so it was hard for me. I want to affirm that. I decided that I held on to it longer than I would in most cases. But it was there. And that's what argumentative treatment can give us, is that we can bring this stuff up. We can flush this stuff up. Like, oh, I've been in a series of failed relationships. Okay, if you are you a person who can be in a relationship? Yes. Are there people around you that do happy relationships exist? Oh, yes. Do you know anybody? Okay, no, maybe not, but I know this. I can see couples out there. They seem happy. So there's evidence of it. Why am I not in one if I really want one? And I have worked with people, Ellen, on this particular topic,
mm-hmm.
who came to discover through paying attention to what their belief systems are via arguing, sitting for 5 minutes a day and allowing the real belief systems to come up and asking a series of questions. Can I have one? Should I have one? Do people have them? Do I have all the capacity that person over there has to have a relationship? I do. I'm intelligent. I'm smart. I'm attractive. I have all that stuff. And if I think I can lose weight if I want to, I can do all these things. That's what that person did. I can do all of that. There's nothing holding me back. They discovered something very interesting. This isn't true of everyone. But in a couple of cases, they discovered that they actually wanted to be single for the time being. That's really what the relationship was that they were missing from themselves. Now, there have also been people I've worked with who went, oh, I just am choosing the wrong person. I do want to have a relationship, but it needs to look different than the one I grew up watching. And they work on that and massage it, and they manifest relationships. I've seen people do it. I've seen it with working with people on the phone that I've never actually witnessed, but I know they moved on to other relationships that looked different because their belief systems were different and their relationships worked. I just went on and on. But that, two big examples, one personal about financial stuff. I was holding on to a resentment, keeping me from being abundant. And I chose to hold on to it for a little while longer, and then the payoff became too painful. Then I began to let it go. And you know what? Money started working. And so money immediately almost started flowing. And I mean immediately. Almost immediately when I said, okay, I'm going to forgive this person. And the next day, the resentment came back. I'm going to forgive them again today. And that shift around abundance happened. And the same thing is true in relationships with people I've worked with and with myself. Oh, maybe I don't want to have a relationship right now. I've been told that you are a better person because you have a relationship. Do I, via argument and paying attention to my own thoughts, really believe that about myself? I actually don't right now. I'm actually happy being single. Maybe in a few years I'll have a relationship or a few months. But via paying attention to my thoughts and honestly asking myself a series of questions when I go, oh, I'm a person in a relationship, and that little voice says, no, you're not. Okay. Look at that little voice. Talk to that little voice and mm-hmm. say, okay, why are you saying that? What's that about? Is there proof that I can't have a relationship? Is there proof, irrefutable proof that I need to be poor for the rest of my life? And argue it. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I think what I want to say in the 2 minutes we have before our break here is that it really isn't mental gymnastics. It may start out that way, ladies and gentlemen, as mental gymnastics. I know it did with me. I didn't believe a word of it, not one word of it. But I thought, well, I'll give it a try. And so I started giving some of these things a try, and I saw results, and that I came to scoff and remained to pray. Because if you had asked me before that, our thoughts, things, I would have said, are you crazy? Of course not. Okay, well, they are in some way. So it isn't just mental gymnastics. It's training your brain. It's getting conscious of what you're thinking and argumentatively treat it, or I'm much simpler than that. I just counter negative thoughts with positive ones. Whatever you individually have to do, get aware, and then start to gently talk to yourself about the belief systems that you have, the patterns that you have, and identify, this works for me, this doesn't. Okay, so what's in the doesn't work category? And what can I gently nudge myself into thinking differently about those things? Spiritual blood clots, resentment, anger, fear are the three biggies. There are others, but those are the three big ones. When we resent, we cannot create what we want. When we're angry all the time, we all get angry, but I mean when it's a constant thing, we can't create. If we're constantly afraid, then it really tamps down our ability to be more conscious and to create more of the reality that we truly desire to have. And so it may start out as mental gymnastics, but in fact, it really isn't. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to look more at what can we do, and what is it about these negative thoughts or these negative belief systems, these negative patterns that we tend to hang on to, even though we may not want to. We're going to challenge ourselves with those questions when we come right back here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Do you ever get sick of it? Hearing a law of attraction, science of mind, if you think it, you can be it, and you just want to throw something across the room? I get it. I know that, and that's usually true when we're waiting on something that hasn't happened yet. We all know the only failure is to quit, so keep at it, stay calm, stay poised, stay in a believing frame of mind. Counter those negative thoughts with positive ones. Say it out loud. Okay, you're doing all that and the thing still hasn't arrived. Okay, well, what we do with that is we say, I experience things coming to me quickly and speedily. I am joyful as I redeem the time. I am not waiting. No, I'm creating things while I'm waiting. I'm working, I'm taking care of the kids, I'm cleaning the house, I'm writing, I'm drawing, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm walking, I'm using my time in a very effective way. Because then, guess what? As we do that, then we don't experience that waiting. We experience ourselves as really living our lives and ever stretching and growing towards our next goal. And that is the beauty of this. You will get exactly what you believe is yours. And the timing, well, that's not up to us, but make good use of your time now. And before you know it, all this angst will leave you and you'll be, yeah, it's exciting to see what I can do with my time that isn't the same old. This is a brand new day. Do different things. Let's go, folks.
How true, John. How true.
Ooh.
Redeem the time. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. You're very good with the turns of phrases, Ellen. Wow. You always turn it up with those phrases. You give us vibrations on the floor. Whenever I pay attention to your turns of phrases, I would think, oh, no, she just put that on a slightly higher level than I was at a second ago, and that's actually helpful.
Well, thank you, John, and thank God. So what do we do now? Because we've got some of these things in our mind, getting conscious, argumentatively treating or countering negative thoughts with positive ones, standing on our heads, spitting wooden nickels, whatever it is we do as we become conscious of the patterns that don't serve us so well anymore. So what do we do when we've done all that? Well, we redeem the time if we're waiting on a specific thing. And I can tell you it does. I'm not saying instantly. But it does become exciting. There are things that I personally am manifesting. And since I'm always manifesting, I want to be conscious of what I'm manifesting. And to me, that's a lifetime journey. And I try to be more and more aware. I pray or treat to be more aware of what my thoughts are doing. What patterns am I holding on to, like grim death, because I'm afraid to change or I'm afraid to let go. And as I do that, there's a little, it's hard to explain, but words fail me, but there's a little surge of excitement. Well, this and this haven't come to the fore yet, but today I'm doing this and this, and you know what? I'm going to try this. I've never tried that before. I'm going to try that. Or I'm alone in the house, and I just sing at the top of my lungs because it's fun. Or I put on music I enjoy, and I dance. And sometimes I cry. Sometimes I sit on the end of my bed and put my head in my hands and go, because it's good to get some of that out too. And then I get up, I wash my face, and I go, okay, that hurt is now over. That is spirit spent. That is behind me. And today is this new opportunity to see what glorious things I can experience and create. I was working recently with a friend of the show and one of my callers. And this individual was really uptight about a very important situation in her life. This has to do with business. And she was really nervous. And we talk science of mind, we talk religious science, we talk prayer, we talk affirmations, Florence Scovel Shin, et cetera, et cetera. And we started working together to create for her what she needed. And she needed it now. And guess what, folks? She got it in a much bigger way than she thought she would. This has to do with finances. And she turned down the greater majority of it because, A, she didn't need that much, and, B, she knew that if she just took this much to get through what she needed to get through in that time, more would come. And since that time, she's had 1, 2, 3 anyway, more opportunities in front of her to expand her business like gangbusters. I mean, how it fell together is simply amazing. I'm not at liberty to give you details because they would be identifying, but it's an incredible journey. And it started with, I am safe. I know I create my reality. I am abundance. I am prosperity. I am joy. I am wisdom. I am health, etc. And where did we land? We got to I am. Just I am. And that I am has been kicked around for years. But when we just get to all of that away and we say I am, we are affirming an eternal and universal truth of an energetic form. I am form. This energy has taken the form of Ellen Hartwell. And so when I am simply I am, everything is available to me. Everything that I could possibly need or want will be created with the power of I am, because in just simply I am, there's no resentment, there's no fear, there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's no hurt, there's no nothing, there's just a creative energy. And that's what this practice wants to uncover. Did you just sneeze, John?
I did.
God bless you hard.
The 37 minutes into the show without sneezing. But,
God bless you. But anyway, God bless you again.
I'm going to stop.
And still. And so when we uncover it by practicing everything we've been talking about on this show, and we get to the I am, even if we sneeze, we've uncovered a fundamental truth that has always been true, is true, and always will be true, which is simply I am, and that is the most creative energy there has ever been or ever will be. And so these treatments, these negative, countering negative thoughts with positive, one argumentative treatment, getting conscious of what we're thinking, what works for us, what doesn't, uncovers that I am. And in the I am, we're unfettered. We have no more identity theft of the self, John.
That is where we're going. That's where we're going at the end of the day. And also, what's interesting about this, speaking of Alpha and Omega, which I know you were, the beginning and the end, is that's where we're going, but it's also where we came from. And the beginning of all, I guess, treatments is what I would say, or prayers or intentions or affirmations that work is, I am unified with that which created me. I am unified. I'm actually an emergent consciousness out of the consciousness that created everything. So if we can go there and get there, we can work our way back home to there, then the truth is creation becomes actually relatively easy and, like you said, exciting and fun. Now, getting through that, because there's so much flotsam and jet, some usually in the way for most of the people, certainly in my life, most of the people that you and I are going to come in contact with, most of the people that will be listening to this show, they aren't listening to this show because they have it all worked out 100%. They are listening to this show because they are working on expanding and doing this better. Some people need to know how they create their own reality, and some people actually are aware of and have practiced for a while, and what they want to do is create it more fluidly. And when you talk about your friend, she's actually aware of this stuff. She became aware of it. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't mean to imply that, but just in the way you drew the example, I think here, like, oh, no, she gets it. She gets it. She forgot, or fear became too big, or what we're talking about this week, the negative thoughts became bigger than her remembrance of her connection to creation. That became larger, and so she manifested the situation. And I've certainly done this. Everybody I know, I know a lot of people have done this, where the manifestation of, I need this now, I'm in crisis, that's actually spirit spent. That's done. That's something you created yesterday or the day before or the minute before. I'm creating a crisis because I have a lack of belief here. And a crisis was the result of that, say, for example. Mm-hmm. The moment we start turning the corner and start affirming more flow, more abundance, expansion, ease, whatever it is that she was in particular working on, or anybody would be working on in that context, the reality is it will start adjusting. And here's what's interesting to me about this, Ellen, is after a certain point in practicing this, you will begin to see evidence quickly. Now, that evidence may come back to you in the form of something you see that you wouldn't have noticed before. It's important when the evidence starts coming back that you are now headed in the right direction. And this is something, again, discovered through practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Through practice, that I had to say, wait a minute, the evidence that I see quickly or right away or in a day or in a minute or in an hour, whatever it is, the evidence, which is why I say pick a noun out of a book and sit with that noun for a minute and watch. Make it random. Like last week I said bugle. Watch and see. You will find that the word bugle will start popping up in a way that it didn't before. That's the evidence that I'm talking about. It's important to remember, though, that the evidence is not necessarily the demonstration. And it is proof to you that you're going in the right direction.
Well, I think before we get into that part, which is the last segment, we're going to talk about those things, John. I feel it's important to be go from affirmation to belief to knowing, because when we know something, it is true, but our affirmations, our treatments, our practice brings us to belief that, hey, you know what, like you were saying, it might not be the complete demonstration, but it's pebbles on the way to the path of the complete demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we do that, we get to belief. And once we believe it fully, then we know it. We don't get up in the morning, or most of us don't. We don't get up in the morning and wonder, is the sun going to come up? We know it's going to come up despite the doomsayers. We know the sun's going to come up. We'll have another show on that one, John. But just for talking purposes, most people don't think, oh, please, God, please, Spirit, please, Universe, bring the sun up tomorrow morning, please. We know it's going to come up, and so we don't even give it a thought. We just don't. I don't think about it. I don't wonder now, is gravity going to work today? Please, God, please, Spirit, please, Universe, please, higher power, let gravity work so I don't bump my head on the ceiling today, okay? No, we know gravity works. We know it's going to work. We've seen enough evidence of it. So we know that's true, and it is true. And that is the purpose of all of this stuff, is to get to that I am, and that I am simply knows. There's nothing mysterious. There's nothing difficult. There's ease and grace. As we do this, we get to a place where we just know. And once we really know it, affirmations to belief to knowing, then we see it. And you've seen it in your life. I've seen it in mine. Where when that's just so, then there it is. But the pebbles along the way are equally important to the actual demonstration, because once you demonstrate or manifest that thing you were waiting on, guess what? You'll be busy at work manifesting something else or demonstrating something else. And so it's a continuous journey of creative force, and we see evidence of that throughout our lives. And I don't think we ever get to a point where we always know, at least not while we have flesh. I think it's a process, and once we get to that, well, then we don't have much of a reason to be here, but that's another show. We're going to take a final break, and then we'll be right back to talk some more about this and to address the challenge from last week. We'll be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self.
Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info.
Our very own Maria, fabulous reader, just a fabulous reader. So make sure you go visit her site and book a reading. You know, we get to these places, and we get to them by being more and more conscious. I have been hearing lately, God moves quickly, we move slowly. Well, we want to move slowly. We want to really get conscious in what are we creating and what do we hope to create. And then God will move very quickly once we know that that is true. And I use God, listeners, for God, spirit, universe, higher power. I don't care if you worship eggplants. It doesn't matter to me. There is a force, infinite love, infinite intelligence that is greater than ourselves working on our behalf at all times. That's what I mean by that. So, John, last week, John,
I'm here.
Okay, hi. We had a challenge to our listeners, and we challenged ourselves. So what happened, John? Did you manifest something in the last week? Did you, huh? Did you?
I absolutely did.
Do tell.
Well, you know what, Ellen, it's interesting. The challenge to me was just to play with this for a while, to play with it and see, really at random, and enjoy the sort of focus and power of it. And I did. I'm at a place, and I will tell you, did I do this where I picked a word and saw it sort of come up? The answer is absolutely yes, because it's fun, and it's fun for me to play with this. And I know, I work for myself. I'm at work at home, so I have flexibility around this. And I did. I will say, too, that there was something else that I manifested. Well, let's tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So, oh, my God, there was something else that I manifested that was sort of, you know, slam dunk. I was very specific about it. And I played with it a little bit, but it was very quick. I mean, it was boom, here it is. And, but I do this all the time, and this is what I mean is, Ellen, my expansion and my growth is that I play with this all the time, and I actually, once we get through that section of growth where we are unconscious and we become conscious of the things that are holding us back, and I'm not saying I'm totally done with that. I'm not saying that at all, because clear that I know that I'm not. And there are still things that are unconscious in my life that I am airing out and bringing to the surface and massaging out of my life. That said, this practice is absolutely, it's a part of my day, it's a continuing part of the day. There was a specific thing that I wanted to happen this week, and it didn't, well, I'll tell you what it was. It was an amount of money. And it was specific, and I played with it, and there it was. And not crazy amount. I didn't go from zero to a billion.
And I was about to say, I'll be your best friend.
Yeah, well, too bad. And, you know, that's it. I mean, what about you? What did you do?
Well, I'm glad that you manifested the money. Thank you. Ding, ding, ding. Well, there were two things, and one I have to say the pebbles are there, and I will find out Tuesday about something that I've been manifesting, and I have every reason to believe there's a yes on that. So yay. And the other was really, God bless you, it really came up and during the week. My ex-mother-in-law went into the hospital not once but twice. Jeepers, John.
Sorry, go on. I'm trying to cover
fork
my...
in it. It's fine. We all sneeze, John. God bless you. My mother-in-law was in the hospital twice this past week, and jeepers, you know, it was a little concerning. And God bless you. And what happened was I just dropped into treatment, into prayer, and asked God for a perfect healing to take place, and believed for that, and then knew that a perfect healing would take place. And they never did find out what was causing the problem, but the problem is taken care of. And
great.
Ding, 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 and she's home. Listeners, when I say ding, 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 John and I know, ding, ding, ding means answer to prayer or demonstration has taken place. So ding, 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 she is home and doing very nicely, and I might add she'll be 93 next month. So, wow, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Because it really
is. You know what? Yeah, it is exciting. And I want to say on health in particular, man, this can be a sporty topic, but we want the perfect healing. I mean, you worded that so exactly correctly, Ellen, in my estimation, because this is not about immortality. And that's another thing that I have found over time, that a motivator underneath all of this is I will be in this flesh, in this body, in this personhood forever. Because there's, you know, a great motivator of all human life is fear of death. That is just a fact. That the perfect healing for someone isn't always I stay in this body. It isn't. Sometimes the perfect death, and that's not an excuse to get out of it. We want our friends and loved ones to stay with us for as long as we're here. But I always say, you know, the perfect healing or the highest good, if I'm treating for something else, that puts me in the knowledge and the safety, and it puts me in a place of absolute faith. And from a place of absolute faith, all manner of things can manifest. All manner of good things can manifest. So I think it's important, because I've worked with people who want the, you know, the perfect healing, and we usually do want that, and I intend that. But if that person has decided they want to go now, it is not our business to keep them here. Does that make sense, Ellen?
Absolutely.
Obviously, your mother-in-law wants to stay, and the perfect outcome has occurred, and you engaged it. And I promise you, I know this, you helped that happen via treatment.
And I believe that, because that's why I never ask for cure. I ask for perfect healing. And perfect healing can mean, you know, we stay and we're happy, healthy, wise. Or it can mean we transform, we go on to, we die, and go to the next experience. But that's always perfect healing. It doesn't mean we don't grieve those that are on the other side, blah, blah. But it does mean that we release to a power greater than ourselves, with more wisdom, with more understanding than we have in the flesh, that whatever perfect healing is, may that take place, and may it take place now. Thank you so much. And it did. Now, had she passed, would I have sadness? Sure, I'd miss her. I would miss her a lot, and there would be repercussions, because there are those who are dependent on her. But I would be sad for me and those that would grieve the loss of her, but I would also rejoice at where she is. And I just heard myself use a word that I think is a dirty word when it comes to death and dying, which is loss. Nobody's lost, ladies and gentlemen. They've moved on to the next experience. They've gone from high school to college, however you want to look at it. But they've moved on to the next experience, and so they're not lost, I promise you. it feels like a loss, but they're not lost. We have lost their physical presence, but they haven't, they're not out there bumbling around being lost somewhere. That's just not true. And I think it's a cruel thing to put out there. Oh, they're earthbound. Nobody's earthbound. Hogwash. Hogwash. They may visit. That doesn't mean they're earthbound. But that's a whole nother discussion. So our challenge has worked, and if you'd like to let us know about yours, we'd love to hear from you. But, John, what are we challenging ourselves with next week?
That's yours. What is it?
Well,
I
would like to challenge you and myself and anyone who wants to join us, any of our listeners, to take one thing that keeps coming up, and this is a negative thought, a negative pattern, that keeps coming up, that you are willing. Remember, some of us have negative patterns that we enjoy. So take a negative pattern that really does bother you and you want to get rid of it. For instance, maybe your house isn't very neat. Okay, so in the next week, I will organize my house and neaten it up, or I'll do whatever. But pick something that really bothers you about you and you'd like to change. Maybe you want to offer forgiveness to a friend or an acquaintance that you haven't, or maybe you want to have the courage to go to the movies by yourself. I don't care what it is, but pick something that bothers you and then say, you know what, I am a person who goes to the movies by myself, or I am a person who lives in an orderly home, or I am a person who not only is forgiving but expresses forgiveness, or I am a person who is in full control of my temper. Whatever it is that bothers you, and just keep repeating, I am a person who, and fill in the blank, and see what happens. Be nice to yourselves, be gentle, but see what happens. So maybe that would be an interesting challenge, and we'd love to hear about that. You can email us, as you know, or you can call in, whatever you want to do. But just, I am a person who. What do you think of that, John?
I love it. I'm going to do it. I already have one in mind.
I'm going to do it, too. I have one in mind.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. And it's just such a fun practice, and, you know, there's a couple minutes left, and I just want to say, the thing we didn't touch on, Ellen, because we hammer away at this stuff, is it's important also to release and then come back, release and come back to it. We are always releasing this. I am a person who lives in an orderly house. And then you go about your day, and then you come back to it. Oh, I'm going to repeat that, but I'm releasing that to the power that created me, that animates me. I'm releasing that to manifest through me. Someone I know says to me, you know, John, God doesn't work for you. He works through you. And you know, that's always a good thing to remember, you know, to use our affirmations, release them, go about your business, and remind yourself, come back to it. Oh, that's right, I forgot, that's who I am. I forgot for a minute. Oh, yeah, I'm a person who lives in an orderly house. Then the natural reflection of that will come back to you, and you will start remembering to put things in their proper place, and you know, things will happen, believe me. That's a big one for me. That's a practice for me.
Well, yeah, and I think that we all have things that we want to do better or be better. You know, I want to be a calmer person, or I want to be someone who doesn't fly off the handle when somebody cuts me off at the stop sign or whatever it is. Or here's a good one. What about that person in the supermarket? We all know who she is or he is, and you're just like, oh, my God, I just can't stand it. No, I'm a person who will redeem the time. While I'm waiting, I'll redeem the time. I'll sing a song. I'll send out positive thoughts to my loved ones. I'll tune into a talking book. I'll put my headset on, whatever. I am a person who redeems the time so that I'm not sitting here judging and grumping and growling, and then guess what? That'll come back to me too. So I don't want to do that. I'm just going to go, nope, whatever they're doing, they're doing. And I am a person who. So give it a try, listeners, and see how that goes for you. I think it's a fun challenge. And John, I do want to thank you. We have to go in a second, but I do want to thank you for coming on when you have been so allergy ridden. May they be gone and gone forever. And
I need to do a treatment on this. No more of this. I'm done.
Go away, gone. Yes.
Yeah, go away, gone.
So we thank you.
Thank you,
so
Ellen.
Much.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, John. You're always such a huge addition to the show. I wouldn't do it without you. And listeners, we thank you so much for listening. We thank you for your emails. We thank you for being a part of this journey. We will be back next Saturday at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific. So take care, everyone. Go create the best day you ever have. Goodbye, John.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.